Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Folk at the back who are waiting to come in, so we'll just invite them in first. I asked the children earlier in the service if any of them were just a little bit sorry that Christmas was over. And I'm sure that if I asked you the same thing, many of you would confess to being just a little bit sorry that Christmas is over. I suspect that the same number, maybe the same people, maybe a bit more, might also confess to just a little bit of relief that it's over for another year. It's a very busy time, and it involves, for many of us, a lot of fatigue, a lot of stress, a lot of bustling around here, there, and everywhere. And then January comes along. Cold, wet, and stormy, horrible January. The time that we get back to the grind and humdrum after the excitement and the celebration of Christmas. Often without feeling that we've actually had a rest over Christmas. And although it doesn't always show on the outside, you are all looking marvellous, by the way, I'm sure that more than a few of us inside feel a bit wabbit, a bit spent, a wee bit low. And to all of those who feel like that, today's reading is like a golden invitation. Music to our ears. It's like the promise of a hot bath and a good night's sleep after a long, hard, and wearisome day. A chance to go into a spiritual spa for a spiritual spa-like experience. Take ourselves out of the world and be pampered. A chance to rest, refuel when we're running on empty. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. These are very well-known verses. Unlike so many statements of Jesus, promises of Jesus, it's not just a promise, it's an invitation. If you're weary and burdened, come to me. That's the invitation bit. And I will give you rest. And that's the promise. And this particular invitation, I'm sure, is one that many of us know and many of us accept regularly. I certainly do. When times seem tough and life seems a particular struggle, when my batteries feel low and need recharging, I've often been drawn to these verses. I've prayed them back to God, as it were, holding him to them. And so in the depths of post-Christmas January, as we're feeling the effects of our indulgences, both in our bodies and in our bank accounts, when it seems that spring's still a long way off, and all there is to do is really wrap up, head down, and keep plodding on, it seems very appropriate, right now, to turn to these verses. But I hope that in doing so, we will realise that these verses are not just an invitation to those who are weary and burdened, also an invitation and a promise to all of us, all of the time, no matter how we feel. not just to plug in and recharge, or to take time out of the race, but an invitation to embark on a whole of life change. Let's look at the whole of the verses, which are up there on the screen. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We've seen that initial invitation and promise in the first sentence, come to me all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But then in the following sentences, this invitation and promise is explained in a bit more detail, and we see, in fact, that there's more to it than just coming to Jesus. It's not enough that we just come to Jesus. In fact, the invitation, indeed the condition of the promise, is that we take his yoke upon us and that we learn from him. Now, as with a lot of imagery that Jesus uses in his teaching and in the parables, a yoke is not something that we have necessarily everyday experience of right now, particularly those of us here, but equally, it's not that difficult to understand. We're not talking about an egg yolk. That's with an L. A yoke with an E. And a yoke is a wooden beam or a cross piece that fastens over the necks of two animals, cattle or oxen in Jesus' time, or in our more recent agricultural times, horses more likely, to allow them to pull a plough or a cart or something like that. And it would be within the everyday knowledge of Jesus' disciples and those to whom he was speaking to know exactly what a yoke was. And also within their everyday knowledge to know that if you had a young, untrained, untamed ox, you would yoke it with an older, more experienced ox, so that the inexperienced animal would learn from the more experienced one. Learn to follow the master's instructions, learn to walk in a straight line, a common direction, not to veer along the path one way or the other according to what they want to do. And this is the idea that Jesus is inviting us to. Us, the inexperienced, untrained, untamed, wayward partner, to yoke ourselves with him and learn from him. And this puts the initial invitation of that first sentence, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It puts that in a different light. It's not just about coming to Jesus for a rest, where he takes the burdens and we become the passenger, sitting back and letting him do all the work. That, of course, is the message that we are used to in marketing today. Buy this product and your life will be better. Get this phone, or this car, or this washing powder, preferably all three, and you too will have a beautiful and easy life, just like the shiny people in the advert, because you're worth it. That's what we're used to in varying degrees of subtlety. But it's not the message or the invitation that Jesus gives us. Jesus' invitation is to learn to walk his way. And we need to acknowledge that learning can be difficult. We do have the most patient and wonderful teacher, gentle and humble in heart. But nonetheless, learning can be difficult and can take a long time and needs a lot of practice. Particularly when we understand, as we do from Jesus' life and teaching, that the sort of learning we are talking about here is not the mechanical, rote learning that we mean when, say, we learn the words of a poem or a song or facts from history. This type of learning that Jesus means, it's the root and branch learning that we do when we learn a whole new language or learn to master a musical instrument or for some of you, for some of us, learn how to work a computer. It's a different mindset that we're talking about. To learn how to do these things properly, become fluent in a foreign language, to master, truly master a musical instrument, indeed master a computer, requires us to discard what comes naturally. If you're learning a foreign language, and if you become fluent, want to become fluent in it, you have to stop thinking and speaking in English. And indeed, fluency, people say, only truly comes when you can start to think in that foreign language, i.e. it becomes second nature. You're not translating as you go. Let's look at some examples that Jesus gives us in his encounters with people. When he went to Martha and Mary's house for dinner, most of us are familiar with the story. Martha did all the cooking and the preparation, while Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to him. Martha's instinct was to busy herself and get on with the work, and then she asked Jesus to tell Mary to help her. Jesus didn't, and in fact he rebuked Martha, not because she was preparing the meal, nothing wrong with that, but because her focus was wrong. She had let her focus on the meal alone get in the way of what really mattered, which was to be with Jesus and indeed to be with Mary. She got her priorities wrong. Another example, the disciples James and John came to Jesus and asked if, when Jesus achieved his glory, could they sit on either side of him? And in doing so, not only did they completely misunderstand what Jesus' glory would involve, their view of glory was one of power and authority and the acclamation that goes along with that. And their misplaced priorities led them to want to share that power and acclamation along with Jesus. In response, Jesus rounds on them and says, "You know how it is with the world? The rulers lord it over everyone else. Not so with my kingdom. Not so with my way. Those who want to be great must be like servants." Now that's not something that comes natural. It's not second nature for most of us. And I dare say it wasn't something that was second nature or came naturally to James or John. The postscript to that incident, of course, is that, and that incident doesn't show James and John in a particularly good light, but the postscript is that they clearly did learn to yoke themselves with Jesus and learn from him, because James became the first disciple to be martyred after the year of death. So he clearly did yoke himself and learn from Jesus and follow him even unto death. So we see that when we talk of taking on Jesus' yoke and learning from him, it's a whole of life attitude that we're talking about. Very often a stripping back, a rejection of the standards and the attitudes that we take from the world, and which very often have become second nature for us. Jesus invites us to strip those habits, those attitudes off, maybe wrenching them off, maybe prizing them off, so that in fact we are able to learn and take on the attitudes of Jesus. This is maybe why Jesus so often spoke of little children being our models for the faith. Indeed, in the passage just before these verses, we read of Jesus talking of God having hidden these things, these truths of the kingdom of God, from the wise and the learned, but revealing them to little children. And this, I think, is something so important. Taking on the yoke of Jesus, learning from him, means unlearning a lot of what we've already learned. It means stripping back a lot of bad habits. Maybe better to think of it as bad attitudes that we've picked up along the way. Attitudes which are deeply ingrained in ourselves, which indeed reflect wider society. Attitudes towards success. How do we measure success? What are we striving for? Attitudes towards wealth. where do our priorities lie? Attitudes to those different from us. And it's been a week where we have to ask that. Attitudes to sex. Attitudes to life itself, to death. Attitudes that we see in Jesus' encounters with Martha and James and John. Attitudes that may be in tune with the world, but are out of step with Jesus' plan for creation. Attitudes which are actually burdens, which weigh us down and tire us out, which provide no lasting satisfaction or indeed meaning, but yet so often are hardwired and dug deep in our minds and hearts. By inviting us to take his yoke upon us, Jesus asks us on a journey. A journey inward, maybe even a journey backward. A journey where he, if we let him, will show us who he created us to be. And what's preventing us being that person. This is why I think it helps us to take on the attitude of a little child, innocent and trusting, who hears and truly believes with delight when Jesus proclaims that he has come that you may have life and have it to the full. And in that sense, what we're talking about is not self-denial in the popular sense. It's more self-discovery. To discover who we really are made to be. Made, created by God in his image. To be nobody other than ourselves. Not a carbon copy, not a clone of anybody that other people, what the world might want us to be. But to be the person that God created us to be. This process of stripping back, of journeying inward, can be painful. Indeed, perhaps it ought to be painful if we're doing it right. Francis Dewar is a writer, he was a minister, and he has written a lot on the subject of discerning God's will, discerning God's call in your lives. And I don't just mean by that a call to a particular vocation or ministry, but a call, God's call to all of us. And he describes it this way. That part of our nature that we call ego will need to be subdued and crushed. A painful process. Very painful, but not a destructive one. It's the grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying, that it may bear a rich harvest. And we recognize that all being different, all being created to be our own people, the learning one of us needs to do will not be necessarily the same as what someone else needs to do. Like the rich young man who came running up to Jesus, we each need to ask him, "Teacher, what must I do?" And then listen for his response. "Teacher, what must I do? Which parts of my life are out of step with you and that I need to change?" And like the rich young man, we shouldn't be surprised if Jesus tells us something we don't like. A painful process, very painful, but not a destructive one. And then as we go on that process, we will realize that the yoke we have taken on, just as Jesus promised, says it would, becomes easy and our burdens light. It's not necessarily going to be an overnight thing. It's a sanctification process that will continue for the rest of our lives. But we will see rewards. I'm reminded of the story of the virtuoso cellist, who in his later years, he'd maybe stopped, I think, giving public concerts, but he still practiced many hours a day. And when somebody asked him, why, when you're so good, why do you keep practicing so long every day?
And he looked at him and he said, "You know, I think I'm getting better."
We don't really know what it's like to be that untrained ox yoked to an experienced animal. We can understand the idea, but we can't really empathize because none of us has ever done it. Think instead of wearing a pair of shoes that don't fit. And then going for a walk. Whether they're too big and you're slapping along like a clown, or they're too small, even worse, and you end up damaging your feet, they're just no use. Add to that a pair of trousers that are too long, sleeves too long, hat too big that keeps falling down over your eyes. I paint a comic picture, but it's a picture I sometimes see in the mirror. I see it with others around me. We've taken on habits, attitudes, priorities that are weighing us down, getting in the way, holding us back, and which might even cause us permanent damage. It would be comic were it not so tragic. And as we walk with Jesus, he'll show us that in fact these shoes don't fit. They may be terribly fashionable, but they're not any use to us. "Here," he says, "take this pair. They're made especially for you. Get used to them and you'll find they fit perfect. Those trousers, they're far too big, big around the waist, too long in the leg, you keep tripping up. Try these ones. They're made especially for you." And the thing about going for a walk in a pair of shoes that fit you perfectly, you don't notice them. You don't know you're wearing them. The thing about going for a walk in a pair of shoes that don't fit you, you don't notice anything else. In this sense, taking up our yoke with Jesus is not about making life difficult for ourselves for the sake of it. It's about learning from him so that we get to have life. The life he has planned for us. And have it to the full. Jesus invites you to come to him, take his yoke upon you, and learn from him. To examine your life with him. To see where those self-imposed burdens are in your life. To embark upon the process of getting rid of those burdens and becoming the person Jesus made you to be. This isn't just for the weary and burdened, but for all of us who know Jesus, even just a little bit, and who want to know him more. It's an invitation not just for January, but for 12 months of the year, for every single day of the year. Not just a pit stop to refuel and get back on your way, but an invitation to a minute by minute, hour by hour companionship that's to last the whole of our lives and beyond, however long that might be. Amen.